precious friend, how foolish, you would be not to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Bible's last prophecy. He has said it over and over again, and the pages of this blessed book are filled with prophecies concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. Don't get the idea that I'm talking about something incidental. I'm talking about the major message of this book, that Jesus has come and that He is coming again. Can you say amen to it?
For over 50 years, pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers impacted untold numbers of lives around the world by presenting profound truth simply stated, and presented a clear invitation to follow Jesus at every opportunity. Today, you'll hear that truth and that invitation as we continue our series on biblical prophecy, The Triumph of the Lamb. Have your Bibles open to the book of Revelation and join us for today's study, or follow along with Pastor Rogers' outline, notes, or a complete transcript of today's message, all available at lwf.org. Now, let's join Adrian Rogers.
Take God's Word, find the last book, and find the last chapter of the last book, and we're going to look in some of the last words in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. And the title of the message, The Lamb Has Overcome. You know, last words are very important. Somebody asked a boy about his daddy who had gone to heaven and said, "What were your father's last words?" He said, "Daddy didn't have any last words. Mother was with him right to the end." Well, last words are important. And the last words of the Bible are vitally important. What we're going to deal with today is the summation of this glorious book of the Revelation that we have been in Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and month after month. It has been a glorious journey. I have enjoyed it myself because every time it goes through me, I am enriched by it, but I trust that you have been blessed by this book. By the way, the Bible says it is a blessing book. The Bible says if you will read it and heed it, you will be blessed. That is a solemn promise. And I've seen God work every time I have preached through the book of the Revelation. It is an incredible book. And now we come to the end, and the words are very crisp. They're very concise as God is summing up this book that deals with the doom of the devil, that deals with the destiny of the dead, that deals with the mystery of history, and deals with the triumph of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to be talking about four last things. Four last things as we come to the very end. And the very first thing we're going to be talking about is the Bible's last prophecy. The Bible's last prophecy, and that deals with the Savior's sudden return. Begin reading with me in verse 6. "And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." And then the Lord Jesus speaks, "Behold, I come quickly." Now these are the words of Jesus. These are not my words. These are not even words of the inspired Apostle John. Jesus says, "Look, listen, pay attention. Behold, I come quickly." Now, friend, that is an ironclad promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says to you, "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant," literally in the Greek, your fellow slave, "and of my brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book." Now underscore this phrase, worship God. Friend, God is the only one who can be worshiped, and John made a social error. He's overcome with emotion. He falls down to worship the angel who brings the message. And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now underscore this, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Verse 12, and behold, here's Jesus speaking again. Behold, saying it again, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. All of this I'm calling the Bible's last prophecy. And that is that the Lord is coming back suddenly. Now when he says, behold, I come quickly, the word quickly does not mean immediately, though it could have been immediate. It means he's just coming back suddenly, just like that. The Bible calls his coming he's coming in the twinkling of an eye. I did some study on this, and one scholar said the twinkling of an eye is 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. Again, the Bible says he's coming like a lightning bolt. The light travels 186,000 miles per second. What he is saying is, I am coming quickly, rapidly, suddenly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That means it could happen before I finish this message. None of us know when Jesus Christ is coming. We all know, if we believe the Bible, that he is coming, and your destiny is determined by what you've done with him before he comes. Look in verses 10 and 12. He saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. If you're unjust when Jesus comes, you'll be unjust through all eternity. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And again he says, listen, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Precious friend, how foolish you would be not to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason the Bible says in Hebrews 3, verse 7, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. God is going to speak to you in this message today. And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling you, are you listening? That he is coming, he's coming soon. Again, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 concerning salvation, listen, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I want to pick two words out of that verse. Now and time are three words, and day. Now, time, day. You see, now we're living in time. When eternity begins, there'll be no salvation for you. Now is the time. And then he mentions the day. Now, one of these days, there will be no more days. Now, if you want to be saved, you can be saved. But you must remember that Jesus Christ is the only hope. Look, if you will, in verse 13. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. Do you see that? The first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Preaching to this audience, he would say, what? I'm A and Z. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first ray of hope in the book of Genesis. I am the last warning in the book of the Revelation. I am Alpha and Omega. It is all about me. Friend, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what he's saying. It's all about me. Now, this is the Bible's last prophecy. He has said it over and over again, and the pages of this blessed book are filled with prophecies concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. Don't get the idea that I'm talking about something incidental. I'm talking about the major message of this book, that Jesus has come and that he is coming again. Can you say amen to it? Jesus is coming again. Now, let's move to the second thing. Not only the Bible's last prophecy, but I want you to see the Bible's last proposal. And that is the sinner's satisfying choice. He proposes to you so that you can choose him. Begin in verse 14. Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without, that means outside, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. I am the root of David. David grew out of me. I am the offspring of David. I am David's descendant. I am the one who created David, and I am the Messiah that David spoke about, and I am the bright and morning star. Now notice verse 17. Here's the Bible's last proposal. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Friend, this is a saving word. Do you want to be saved? Then whosoever will may come. Now, look, if you will, in verses 14 and 15. Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. That is translated in many translations, blessed are they who have washed their robes. Now, your Bible may say that, those who have washed their robes, because when you do his commandments, you wash your robes and vice versa. And so I wouldn't go to the mat with anybody about the translation, but he's talking here about being clean, being white. Have you washed your robes in the blood of the Lamb? I hear these people say, well, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Baptist. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Methodist. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Presbyterian. You better be a washed-in-the-blood Baptist, and a washed-in-the-blood Methodist, and a washed-in-the-blood Presbyterian, or whatever. You see, there's only one way to be saved, and that is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Had there been any other way, God would have taken it. He would never have allowed His darling Son to die in agony and blood on the cross had there been some other way. This is a saving word, but look at it. It is a seeking word. A seeking word. Look in verses 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I'm doing exactly what Jesus gave the book of the Revelation for. Listen. Jesus said, I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now here's one of the sweetest invitations in the Bible. Verse 17. Mark it in your Bible. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Now listen to this. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. May I ask you a question? Who cares if a sinner goes to hell? I'll tell you who cares. The Lord Jesus cares. Jesus said, I sent a message to an angel. And I said to that angel, go to the churches and give them this message. I want them saved. The Lord Jesus cares. That's why Jesus stepped out of the glories of heaven and walked the dusty shores of Galilee. That's why Jesus left heaven's love for earth's abuse. That's why Jesus was nailed to that hellish machine called a cross and died in agony and blood. Why? With every drop of his blood, he's saying, I love you. And I want to save you. And I'm telling you that if you die and go to hell, you will have to climb over the battered, bruised body of Jesus to get there. He's saying, stop! Don't go to hell. But not only does God the Son care, God the Spirit cares. Look again in this verse, in verse 17. It says, and the Spirit says, come. The Spirit cares. Who is the Spirit? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Did you know that I'm not alone up here? Did you know I'm not preaching by myself? The apostle said, we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost whom God hath given to them that obey him. I would not dare stand here and endeavor to preach without the conscious assurance that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking through me. And the Spirit says, come. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And as you're sitting here this morning listening to the preaching of the Word of God, there's another voice speaking to you. It is the dear Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, when he has come, he will convince the world of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Who cares if you go to hell? Jesus cares. Who cares if you go to hell? The Holy Spirit cares. I'll tell you who else cares. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ cares, because verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who's the bride? The church is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the composite bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the bride is not only here on earth, but the bride's also in heaven. Those in heaven are looking down saying, come up here and be with us. Hebrews chapter 12 says that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. We are on the field running, and they are cheering us on. It's like a relay race, and they have run before us, and now they have placed the baton in our hand. I have it. I have received it from Peter, James, Paul, Andrew. And the baton is in my hand, and now I'm running with it. That's a thrill, to think that we're one with the saints. The bride in heaven, the bride on earth. What is the purpose of this church? It is evangelism. You don't like evangelism? Then you'll never be happy here. Amen. Well, I like a worship service. Friend, I never worship more than when souls are getting saved. Amen. That's what it's all about. Why did Jesus come? Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What is the great commission of the church? We are to make disciples. And a church that does not make disciples, a church that's not soul winning, a church that is not missionary, is not worthy of the dirt upon which the building is built. A church exists by evangelism like a fire exists by burning. Listen, the Lord Jesus cares if a sinner goes to hell. God the Spirit cares if a sinner goes to hell. And this church cares. That's why we're here. We want you to be saved, precious friend. Whoever you are watching through television, the church of the Lord Jesus in your community, if it's a true church, cares for you and wants you to be saved. And I'll tell you what else it tells us here, that everyone who hears the message should care. It says, let him that heareth say, come. When you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a solemn obligation to share that message. There are just simply two words in the Bible that sum it up. One is come, the other is go. Come to Jesus, go tell. How dare we be silent? How dare we say that we have the message of eternal life and we don't share that message? Let him that heareth say, come. If you've heard it, then you ought to invite somebody else. Have you come to church this morning without inviting someone to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? I've been amazed just simply to invite people and say, would you come? They said, yes, I'd be glad to come. People are waiting for you to invite them. People are waiting to hear about the Lord Jesus. Not everyone. Some will harden their heart. But if you say that not everyone is interested, you know what it tells me? You're not sharing. Because I am telling you, there are a lot of hungry people out there waiting to hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, let him that heareth say, come. Every individual who loves Jesus and filled the Holy Spirit cares if a sinner goes to hell. This is the Bible's last proposal. It is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus. And the Bible says, and if you're thirsty, just come. Just come. Whosoever's athirst, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Drink of the water of life. You know, isn't that wonderful? You know, the gospel is so simple. It's like taking a drink of water. you don't have to have a PhD to do that, to take a drink of water. That's what he says. Look at it. It's such a blessing. Just look at it. Precious friend, in verse 17, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life. You don't have to pay one blessed cent for it. It's there. Take it and drink it. That's the reason why I call this a satisfying proposal. You will never have your deepest heart thirst satisfied until you're satisfied with Jesus. And if you're thirsty, come and drink, and he will save you, I promise you, on the authority of this Word of God. You say, but Pastor Rogers, what if I'm not one of the elect? What if I'm not one of the elect? Well, would it help? Could I be more sure if he said, and if Adrian Rogers will come and drink? Well, I say, oh, no, wait a minute. There's more than one Adrian Rogers in the world today. What if it said Adrian P. Rogers? You know what P stands for? Pierce. Adrian Pierce Rogers. Well, there might be another Adrian Pierce Rogers. Might be, it might not refer to me. What if it said Adrian Pierce Rogers born in West Palm Beach, Florida? Say, well, there could be another Adrian Pierce Rogers born in West Palm Beach, Florida. Well, what if it says Adrian Pierce Rogers born in West Palm Beach, Florida, who now lives in Shelby County, Tennessee? Well, there might be another one born in West Palm Beach. Adrian, you say, you're getting ridiculous. Well, let me just solve this thing. Let's forget all that and just put one word in there, whosoever. Whosoever. That's better than anybody's name spelled out. Amen. Who are the elect? I can settle that in 30 seconds. The elect or the whosoever wills.
That's right.
You want to be saved? Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You want to be saved? Come to Jesus. And he's reaching out his nail-pierced hands to you and saying, come, come, come. Jesus says come. The Spirit says come. The bride says come. The individual says come. You can come and drink. Now let's move to the third thing. I want you to see the Bible's last prohibition, and that is the Scripture's sinful revision. The Bible prohibits anybody from revising the Holy Scriptures. Look at it. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in the book. Don't try to revise the Bible. Don't try to make the Bible politically correct, as so many are doing. The urge to revise the Bible is as old as the Garden of Eden, when the serpent came to Eve and said, hath God said? Anybody who puts a question mark after the Word of God is doing the work of the devil. Never forget it. But today, in today's society, we play so loosely with the Bible. I heard of one man who'd been presiding over a business meeting, and then they had some scripture reading, and he absent-mindedly said, now, if there are no additions or corrections, the scriptures stand approved as read. The scriptures do stand approved as read. The scriptures are the very Word of God. Now, the Bible mentions over here, go back over, back up to chapter 22, verse 6, and look at it. He saith unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. These sayings are faithful and true. Now he said, that's the reason you don't add to them and you don't take from them. They are faithful and true. Where have you ever heard that phrase, faithful and true, before in the book of the Revelation? In chapter 3 and verse 14, Jesus is speaking, and the angel of the church of the Laodicean saith, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, who is the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God? Jesus. So Jesus calls himself faithful and true. And then over here in chapter 22, he calls the Bible faithful and true. Use a little logic. The same words that Jesus Christ applies to himself, he applies to the Word. A man and his Word may be different, but God and his Word are not different. You, listen, friend, Jesus is the one who is faithful and true. Don't add to this book. This book is complete. There are 66 individual books that make up the one book, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. Not a jot nor a tittle will fail from the law till all be fulfilled. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I had sooner take forked lightning in my hand than to try to revise or remodel the Word of God. Don't change it. Friend, we don't need the Book of Mormon. We have the Word of God.
Amen.
We don't need science and health with key the Scriptures. We have the Word of God. We don't need the Koran. We have the Word of God. It is settled. It is sealed. It is fixed. Don't add to it. And don't dilute it. We have these so-called scholars today. They're going through the Bible to tell us which part is inspired and which part is not inspired. They are re-examining the Bible, and some of them call themselves ministers. They're re-examining the Bible. I think they ought to be re-examined. They're going to re-examine the Bible. I just as soon trust a bunch of men with a blindfold in a dark cave and a jar full of lightning bugs trying to examine the noonday sun. It's these men to examine the Word of God. Every word of God is pure. And the Bible is very clear about this. Be careful, friend, what you do with the Word of God. Don't fool with it. Put down in your margin Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Now let me tell you the fourth final thing. So we come to God's final words in this final book, this final chapter, the Bible's last prayer. We've talked about the Bible's last prophecy. We've talked about the Bible's last proposal. We've talked about the Bible's last prohibition. Now here's the Bible's last prayer, and that is the saints' supreme request. What is it? Revelation 22, beginning in verse 20. He which testifieth these things, and that's Jesus, Jesus is the one testifying this, saith, surely I come quickly. Now that's the third time he said it in this passage. I come quickly, I come quickly, I come quickly, surely I come quickly. And then old John says, amen, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And then he says, amen again. Amen means let it be. Can you imagine John there, been working in the rock quarries there, Patmos, the aged old apostle? He's been persecuted and abused, and he's there lonely, and the Lord Jesus appears to him and says, John, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to reveal to you the future. Now you sit down, John, and you listen to this. And then all of the glories and all of the warnings and all of the intrigue of the great book of the Revelation unfolds before John. And John goes through all of these things, and he hears these things, and the Spirit of God is moving in his heart. And he reads about all of these things, and then he gets down here. There are going to be new heavens and a new earth. And then our Lord says, now John, John, listen, John, put it down. Tell people not to change an iota, a scintilla of it, a scintilla of it. And John, listen, John, I'm coming, son. I'm coming. Oh, John says, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. John claps his hands. He's so happy. Come, Lord Jesus. Do you long for Jesus to come? Amen. Friend, you ought to. If you have a Christian heart beating in your bosom, if you know what is going to transpire when Jesus comes. You see, that's the reason the Bible calls His coming the blessed hope. The blessed hope. Do you know there are a lot of people in this world who have no hope? Friend, they don't have any hope. Their medicine is getting more expensive. Their body is getting sicker. They're filled with venom and resentment. They're looking forward to dying and rotting in the ground. Hopeless. There's some who have no hope. Now, there's some who have a false hope. They put their hope in things that are not true. They don't have the precious Word of God that we have. They don't have the witness of the Holy Spirit that we have. False hope. And then there's some, they just have an uncertain hope. And maybe some like that here today, you're saying, well, Adrian, I hope what you're saying is true. Sounds good. Oh, no, friend. Hope in the Bible doesn't mean maybe, perhaps. The Bible word hope means rock-ribbed assurance based on the Word of God. But it means even more than that. It means rock-ribbed assurance based on the Word of God enjoined with anticipation. We used to go on Sunday drives when I was a little boy. My brother and I would sit in the back seat, and sometime he'd get on my side or sometime I'd get on his side. Daddy, he touched me. Mama, he did so-and-so and so-and-so. And we'd be in a little fight in the back seat. You ever done that? My dad, very resolute man. My dad would say, boys, when we get home, you're going to get a whipping. Now, friend, that was like the law of the Medes and the Persians. No changing it, no argument. He said, you're going to get a whipping. Now, friend, that was assurance, but it wasn't hope. The second coming of Jesus is called the blessed hope. I thought about it when I preached, when I prepared this message. And I said, Adrian, do you really, really honestly want Jesus to come? With all of my heart, I do. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Can you say that? Is that the desire of your heart? Now you say, well, you know, Adrian, I'm not quite sure you've gotten all the details right. I think you missed the meaning of a toe on the left foot of that beast in Revelation. I may have. Doubtless I have. Doubtless I have. I don't think I got it all right. I got it as best right as I know. But I'm not going to argue with you about it. I don't want you to argue with me about it. This hope is a unifying hope. Not only is it a blessed hope, it's a unifying hope. Suppose Johnny has gone away to war. And then the family gets a message that Johnny is safe. And Johnny is coming home. And the family is all excited for a while. And then you go to that house where Johnny lives, and faces are red and voices are high and fists are shaking, and they're in a great argument. And what are they arguing about? Somebody says, well, I think Johnny will be here on the Greyhound bus. The other one says, you're wrong. Johnny's coming on the train. The other one says, you're wrong. Johnny's coming by air. The other one says, you're wrong. Johnny's going to rent a car. And they're one another's throats, and about that time the doorbell rings, and there stands Johnny. Now, friend, I don't want to be on the program committee. I want to be on the welcome committee. I want to be on the welcome committee. I cannot tell you for certain every detail, but I can tell you I know as surely as I'm standing here that blessed Jesus who's going up into the glory, that blessed Jesus is coming again. Former pastor of this church, Dr. Robert G. Lee, told a story. Maybe you've heard him tell it. He said, when I was a little boy, we were raised on a farm. He said, the farm was so poor you couldn't even raise an umbrella on it, much less a mortgage. And he said, I was on the front porch of that farmhouse, and all of the people had gone to town except for me and my mother. He said, my mother was sitting there on the porch in a rocking chair, and I was there on the floor with my head in my hands. And I looked up at my mother's hands, and they were hard and toil-worn. And I said, Mama, tell me the happiest moment of your life. He said, I thought perhaps she would tell me of that moment when my daddy, a tall 6-footer with dark eyes, expressed his love to her. But she didn't tell me that. Or I thought perhaps she would tell me of that time when the moon spread over the little farm there, and there by the fence gate, he asked her to be his bride. But she didn't tell me that. But I thought, well, perhaps she'll tell me about that time in that cabin in the corner of that little farm where they expressed their vows one to another and kept those vows for over 50 years until my daddy went to heaven. But she didn't tell me that. She said, son, you've asked a hard question. But said, in the war between the states, those were hard times. Said to all of the men went off to war. We got our salt from the smokehouse floor. We got our tea from sassafras leaves. We made a substitute coffee from corn. It was hard. All the men had gone and the women did the work. And then we received word that my daddy, your grandfather Bennett, had been killed in the war. Dr. Lee said, my mother said that her mother didn't cry much out loud, but at nighttime said, I could hear my mama sobbing in her pillow. Those were hard times. And Dr. Lee's mother said, one day, my mother was sitting on the porch, very much like this. And I was sitting at her feet, very much like you're sitting at my feet. And said, my mother had a bowl of beans in her lap, and she was stringing those beans and snapping them. And a figure appeared over across the field. And she said to me, Elizabeth, honey, I declare, that man walks like your daddy. And she kept on snapping those beans. Then after a while she said, Elizabeth, honey, that man looks like your daddy. And I said to my mama, now mama, don't get all excited. You know daddy's dead. Don't get all excited. About that time, that figure came and started across the cotton field. And my mother said, Elizabeth, that is your daddy. She threw those beans in the air, gathered up a skirt, and ran across that field. Elizabeth said, my daddy had lost an arm in the war, but he was alive. He had his sleeve pinned up. My mother met him. He put that other arm around her, and they kissed and hugged and laughed. She said, I ran my finger up his sleeve and felt that funny little nub. She said, son, I believe that was the happiest day of my life. Then Dr. Lee said, that day will pale into insignificance when Jesus comes. Are you ready for His coming? Do you know that you know if the trumpet sounded today, in the twinkling of an eye, like a bolt from the blue, Jesus comes? Would you be ready? Would you pray a prayer like this? Lord Jesus, I need to be saved. You died to save me. You shed your blood to save me. You rose to save me. You promised to save me if I would trust you. I do trust you right now. I want to be your child. I want to be received into heaven when you come. So come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me and save me. Now, Lord Jesus, I'm weak, but you're strong. So you'll have to help me. Begin now to make me the person you want me to be, and help me never to be ashamed of you, and give me the power the obedience to make it public. And Lord, I will, because I'm not ashamed of you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Aren't you so glad for the love of God that is the absolute opposite of the bitterness that sometimes we feel in our heart? You know, it's not enough merely to root out bitterness, but to let God fill that void with His love, His peace, His grace, His mercy. And you can only know that if you're saved. And to be saved means to receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. You're not saved by being a better person. Christianity is not behavior modification. The Lord has come as a Savior, not as a reformer, not merely as a teacher, not as an example. None of those alone. He has come primarily as a Savior. Would you let Him save you today? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Every sin forgiven, buried in the grave of God's forgetfulness, God's peace in your heart, heaven for your home. Pray a prayer like this. Oh God, I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I need to be saved. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me. Save me. You promised to do it if I would trust you. I am trusting you. Thank you for doing it. Begin now to make me the person you want me to be and help me never to be ashamed of you. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, if you pray that prayer, rejoice. Tell the Lord you love Him. Write to us and let us know. We will rejoice with you, pray for you, and send you some literature absolutely free to get you started in your Christian life. God bless you.
We hope that today's message from Adrian Rogers has been an encouragement to you as we continue our study, The Triumph of the Lamb. You can listen to this message again, share this message with a friend, or download this message along with Pastor Rogers' outline, notes, or a complete transcript, all at lwf.org. At lwf.org, you can also sign up to receive a daily devotional from Adrian Rogers, delivered directly to your computer or mobile device. And if you're looking for some inspiration or encouragement during the week, be sure to follow us on social media at LWF Ministries. And don't forget, you can catch up with our program each week at lwf.org and on our Facebook page or YouTube channel. Thanks for watching today. We'll see you next time.
More than anything, God wants to make you holy, to make you like Him. The only way we can be made like Him is to build our faith in Him. And Love Worth Finding wants to help. For your gift this month, we want to send you the Building Your Faith booklet collection from Adrian Rogers. This 5-booklet bundle is designed to help you build your faith in Jesus Christ. And as an additional thank you for your support, we'll also send the pocket-sized Gospel of John, taken from the Adrian Rogers Legacy Bible. Request the bundle when you call with a gift at 1-800-647-9400, or you can give online at lwf.org. Again, thank you for your generous support.